Be thou my vision. What a great focus to make upon this occasion as we give our attention to the importance of keeping our eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Chapel Orchestra, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus himself. I know that this is a week that has special significance in numbers of ways. We've talked about the upcoming Friday activities, but I also know that this is a big week for those of our campus who have this wonderful thing called love. Now, I don't mean to suggest that I'm mocking that in this moment. I really wouldn't. I want to encourage you that are married students. You need to make sure, gentlemen, you don't forget chocolate is her favorite. Dark chocolate is my wife's favorite. And so I've got to make sure I remember that. They like flowers. Maybe you know, flowers are what it's all about. I think that's a great expression. But, you know, one of the things that is sort of commonly associated with this occasion of Valentine's Day is Valentine cards. I have one here that this is not the one I'm going to give to my wife. I wouldn't even read the one to you that I'm going to give to my wife. It's none of your business. But this happens to say, to the one I love on Valentine's Day. And then it says, day and night my heart beats with a love that never sleeps. Day and night my heart beats only for you. Happy Valentine's Day. Now that's an okay message. I think I could say it better than that. So that's why this isn't the card that's good enough for her. But, you know, somebody wrote this card and somebody, you know, and I bought it, I will tell you that. I did buy it, so I have that much on my conscience. But I didn't buy it for her. I really bought it as an illustration for this chapel time. And please know that I think that Valentine cards are wonderful messages. Now, for some of you in the audience that say, this is really not going to affect me because nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going out and eat worms, you know. Or for some of you staunch, you know, ignorant people, you say, I'm never going to fall in love, you know, bachelor till the rapture type stuff, you know. And God bless the ignorant among us, you know. I have Bible passages, you know, that direct otherwise, and so I won't try and labor it at this moment because you wouldn't hear them. But you know, the truth is, this really is a reminder for all of us that on this occasion of focus on what love is, that we live in a world that is starved and desperate for love. And even if you want to try and deny it, the truth is every person cries out with need for love. I believe that tragically our world has a distorted view of what love is all about. They see it as some kind of a fickle sentimentality of emotion that is only measured by sweaty palms and, you know, pulsating heart and, you know, circumstances and, you know, some ambiance and all those kinds of things. And they measure love with that kind of superficiality. And tragically, then they easily discard it when those measurements are gone. Or we have persons who in our world will claim that love is some kind of a overwhelming, you know, passion that overtakes them and they couldn't control themselves. And so in some kind of a, you know, fit of love, they engage in something that is contrary to God's, you know, intention, whether it's immorality or some kind of other behavior. And that's a misconception of love. I'd like today to just ask you to focus with me for a few moments on this whole idea of what God has to say about love and what the biblical understanding of love is, because if we're going to be faithful servants, as our theme is this year, we need to be faithful in following God's instruction about love. I'd like, first and foremost, for you to understand that love is a controllable commodity. It's something that is commandable. It's not something that is just, you know, emotional or superficial. It is truly something that is a commandable commodity. And love is, first and foremost, I think most significantly, an exercise of an intellectual understanding that then is, you know, implemented through a volitional choice. And emotion really becomes sort of the peripheral component of love. I'm not denying emotion isn't there. I still, you know, find myself, you know, just driving with
passion home when I'm gone for several days because I can't wait to see my wife. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of the emotion that goes with love. But can I tell you that love is not just an emotional sentimentality? And in our world that is so focused upon that superficial component, as God's children, we have a wonderful privilege to understand what God has to say about what love is all about. I wonder if you were to identify the book of the Bible that gives us the most instruction about our love relationship with God, because can I just tell you that love is most effectively exercised outwardly to others as we have a proper love relationship with God. I didn't say you couldn't love without God, because there are lost people that exercise a measure of love. But the truth is, the most effective and fulfilling love that can ever be exercised is when I have the most effective relationship in my love with God. And so I ask you the question now in this context: what book of the Bible is the most prolific in commanding us about our love relationship to God? Anybody want to guess? Someone says 1 John. Some of you are afraid. John. Okay, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. God bless the courageous suggestions here. Do you know that the most frequent commanding book of the Bible that talks about how we should love God is Deuteronomy? Now, some of you said it quietly because you weren't courageous enough to say it out loud, so don't feel too good about yourself. No, but Deuteronomy. I'd like you to go there for a moment, because we want to just quickly pan through some verses without comment, and I want to tell you where we're going to go with this. I'd like you to just capture a little bit of the messaging of love relationship that God's Word gives us about our love to Him on this Valentine's week when we think about love. And as I've said to you, love is a commandable commodity. This passage this book of Scripture commands us over and over again: love God, love God, love God. If it was just an emotion, you couldn't command it. But it's not just an emotion. Because you see, our emotions aren't always controllable. I can't tell when I'm going to do something emotionally. Oh, I think I can bring my emotions under control, but then I'm exercising my will over my emotions. Love is not just some sentiment that is emotionally driven. It is a volitional, intellectual exercise that I command, and God commands. And so when I'm commanded to love God, it means I can choose to do it or choose not to do it. I don't think I can choose not to do it and obey Him, but there are plenty of people who refuse to love God. And as a Christian, I can refuse to exercise love to God. This idea of love is one that's been described by Dr. Joseph Pinter as seeking the best for the object of affection. And I've used that through the years to try and remind my heart what love is by sort of a description. I don't think it's a thorough definition, but it is the exercise of my will in obedience to what I intellectually know I should do in behalf for the best interest of the object of affection. In this case, God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is the first of these passages, and we're just going to zip right through these as you see multiple passages. So have your Bibles handy, and we're going to have a little bit of a sword drill as we go through this and see consecutive passages that talk about loving God. This is, of course, the famous one, because this is the cornerstone of Jewish belief. It's the Shema. It's the word Shema just means hear. It's the first word in that exhortation: hear, O Israel. And the Jews just have abbreviated this cornerstone of their faith as the Shema, the great standing document upon which all the rest of their belief is positioned. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Chapter 10, verse 12, please. From here I'll just read the passages giving you the references. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Turn to chapter 11, please, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes. Chapter 11, verse 13, the middle part of the verse. shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart. Chapter 11, verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave unto him. Chapter 19, verse 9, please. Chapter 19, verse 9. If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add these cities to thee. Dealing with the cities of refuge in that passage. Chapter 30, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Of course, this is in the context of God's future fulfilled guaranteed promise of occupancy in the land with the Palestinian covenant. This has not been fulfilled. This is a Jewish promise related to that setting. Chapter 30, please, in verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances. And then chapter 30, verse 20, please. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Now, those passages we've not really developed. I want to say very clearly that I'm aware of the dispensational implications as it relates to God's promises to Israel. But in case you find yourself sort of easily saying, well, that's just Jewish, I want to just take your attention to the New Testament where Jesus uses this same thought. And you're familiar with this, but Matthew chapter 22, would you turn there, please? Matthew chapter 22. And the occasion where this lawyer, scribe, comes to Jesus and asks, what's the greatest commandment? Verse 37. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And Mark's record gives a little different nuance of the same episode, so please turn to Mark chapter 12, if you would, please. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, I chose Mark's record as well because Jesus clearly ties the identification of the object of love, the Lord, one God, and the activity of love. Love God commanded of him. Now, with that kind of a backdrop, I'd like to do something different in chapel this morning. I'd like you to think for a moment with me about writing a Valentine message to God. I'm not saying this to cheapen that love relationship, but you know, the truth is, we ought to be eager and desirous of expressing our love to God. So I want you to take your chapel journal and the page that you might be already on. I'd like you to write in these next minutes, and I'm going to sit down here and do the same, and we're just going to stop right now, and everybody is going to write a Valentine message to God. I read a Valentine card a moment ago, and I'm not afraid to call it a Valentine card to God. I just want to keep it from appearing to be shallow or superficial. But I want everybody at this moment with a pen. And if you didn't bring a chapel journal, or you that are guests, you don't have a chapel journal, I'd encourage you, if you could just locate a piece of paper, it'd be great to do that. If you don't, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I didn't come prepared to pass them out because everybody in our campus family has chapel journals. And so that's part of our attendance in chapel. And so I'd like you right now, just on the page in which you're writing your chapel notes, to now write just a brief paragraph or few sentences expressing in your own words your love to God. Now, in a moment, contrary to reading a message that might be an intimate exchange between earthly lovers, can I just tell you, I don't mean to suggest there aren't things you'd say to God that you wouldn't comfortably express publicly. I am going to give you a chance in just a moment as we take a break from the writing of this to then let some of you just spontaneously share what you have written, not to show off or to express in a sort of a, display way, but just because, you know what? When you love someone or something, you love to talk about them. And you should have a desire to say, I just want to just publicly convey how much I love God. And so as you write, please know that I'd like you to feel free to then in a moment share some of those without comment. So without further introduction, take these next 5 minutes or so to pen some words of a love message to God. And I hope that this exercise has been just a healthy reminder to you that you should be very expressive and clear in your love for God. I'd like you to take your chapel journal to the page that you have open for today's chapel notes, and occasionally we reference this, but not often, but you have that section at the end that says, so what? My so what bridge? I'd like us all to put the same two entries into that area of our chapel journal in this moment. Not because I'm trying to prescribe for you what maybe something else has been upon your heart, but this should be a part of what every one of us should respond. The so what of this occasion. First, so what must I decide? Can I just ask you to put down there four words? I must love God. I must love God. I have no choice. Not that that's a thing I want not to do, but I'm commanded over and over and over again. I must love God. So what must I do? The next category. I must obey His commandments. Would you enter those five words? I must obey His commandments. We started this chapel with a meditation moment, John 14:15. You might want to put it there, John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Over and over again, even in the book of Deuteronomy, we didn't develop this, but you saw it as we read it a moment ago. Every time there was a passage dealing with loving God, you know how it was companioned? Obeying God. So don't say you love God, Anderson, I'm talking to me, if you don't obey Him and His Word. And so what must I decide? I must decide I will love God. I must love God. Would you say that with me? I must love God. And in light of what I must decide, I must do the following. I must obey His commandments. Would you say that with me? I must obey His commandments. I trust this morning that as you think of this wonderful week of delightful moments, and I hope you have happy ones, I trust that above all, you'll love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Those listed words are just illustrations of all the components of my life. Never intended to be sort of, dissected in this compartment of my life or that compartment. No, I just should love God with everything that I have. I must love God. I must obey His Word. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing a closing song of prayer. That's familiar, so I'm sure you don't need to turn to it. And so would you just bow with me and sing the familiar words of that little chorus? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my God. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be an offering, sweet offering to you. Let's sing it together, and then we'll remain for a moment as the organ plays.